जयं विष्णुपादपरमहंसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीश्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्दभक्तिवेदान्तगोस्वामी महाराज शीलप्रभुपादकी जयं नित्यलीलाप्रविष्टा विष्णुपादपरमहंसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीश्रीमान् भक्तिसिद्धान्तसरस्वती महाराज शीलप्रभुपादकी अनन्तकोटि वैष्णववृन्दकी नामाचार्य श्रीहरिदास ठाकुर्की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale, Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसंददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोस्तुते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैल पूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्न पारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैक बाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्ध गोपाल नंदन पार्थो वल्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेव सुदं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवगी परमानंदं कृष्णं वंदे जगद्गुरुं विष्मद्रोणतटाजयद्रथजला गांधार नीलोल्पल शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमगरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सुतीर्ण खलु पांडवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशवा पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगंधोल्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा संबोधनाभोदिदं लोकैः सज्जनषल्पदैर्हरः पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मावरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैः सवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द Arjuna's Sharanagati to Krishna. That verse, Karpanya Doshavahada Subhava Prachamiton Dharma Samuda Chedaha Yashrayasyal Nishidam Brohidanme Shishyasteham Shatimam Tvam Prabhannam. A very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What is pointing out is that only when someone surrenders, the Bhagavad Gita will be effective to that person. Without Sharanagati, these Krishna's instructions, what is going to come now, will not be effective. Sharanagati is the key factor. You can see in the Bhagavatam also, so many Sharanagatis in Bhagavatam, isn't it? Kundi Devi, Sharanagati. Then later on you will find Sharanagati from different personalities. Ambarish Maharaj, Sharanagati. And similarly Uttaradevi, Sharanagati. Gajendra, Sharanagati. Mahabali, Sharanagati. So Sharanagati is a key factor in spiritual life. Without surrender, simply intellectually studying books and arguing and discussing is useless. It's not going to get anywhere unless this Sharanagati comes. Sharanagati is the beginning of spiritual life. That Arjuna is recognizing that he does not know anything. And he is willing to accept that. That acceptance itself, right? So, what that means is the Ahangaram has willing to surrender. Ahangaram is willing to surrender. It's not like in the school education or college education where you go and pay the fee and you tell them that you teach me and I like, if I like it, I'll take it. If I don't like it, I leave it. That's not the approach in the spiritual path. In spiritual life, it's always first surrendering to Krishna, surrendering to Shastram, surrendering to the Guru, surrendering to Krishna, right? So if the surrender is there, then how does that work? The instruction doesn't come from outside. Instructions come from Antaryami. From inside it comes. The required instructions will come from inside. So even though there is nobody outside, Arjuna decided to continue surrender unconditionally. And what is the symptom of that? The symptom of surrender is like this, that he has to feel that, like Arjuna felt, that he is helpless. I cannot do anything. He has accepted that. I cannot do anything about it. And he also accepted that there is someone higher than him who can give him the directions for the future. So that is a symptom of Sharanagati. First thing, accepting that I don't know anything and I require help and there is someone who can help me, and that thought has to come inside, right? So these two things came up in Arjuna's mind. What was that? First thing, that I don't know anything, I need help, I don't know what to do, and then he is willing to accept that there is a higher authority who can help me. So to understand this, the Antaryami's nature is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Subhava. This is the Antaryami. Antaryami's very nature is like that. Eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated, and that Antaryami, because of that nature, it is also eternal, therefore it's always independent also. Antaryami alone is totally independent, right? Antaryami has no bondage. Antaryami is Buddha Mukta Swarup. It is Nitya Mukta, it is. Fully liberated state, right? So, that nature is the nature of the soul. Soul's nature is that. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swabhav. But that has been covered now by this, what we call Karpanya Dosha. Karpanya Dosha Vahrata Subhava is saying there. Karpanya Dosham has happened, which we saw yesterday what Karpanya means. Kripanada, that miserly nature. And therefore, Kripanada means, basically in English you can say pettiness, or you can say also narrow-mindedness. Different ways of saying the same thing. So, whatever it may be, the Arjuna, this is what has happened. What is that pettiness? Pettiness is this. I am this body, right? And body and all that is connected with the body is mine. Me and mine. I am this body and everything that is connected with the body is mine. In basically what that means is the mind has become very concrete. Concrete nature means it's become very solid-like thing. Which means that mind has become very sthulam, very gross, jadam, in other words, right? So, such a person is called Kripana in the Upanishads. One whose mind has become like that, very solid and jadam-like thing, cannot absorb anything anymore. It is completely fixed in the body and the bodily extensions and bodily attachments and everything centered around the body. When one is stuck in that, he is called Kripana. Right? So, such a person, there is no point in him doing anything. Nothing is going to work for him. Because his calculations have gone wrong from the very basic itself. From the basis itself, things have gone wrong. First thing, he thought that he is this jiva and that ahangaram inside. Because his identification with the ahangaram so strongly, And due to that, he is thinking he is jiva. And in Shastram, this is called as mula avidya. Mula avidya. Primeval ignorance. That's the English translation proper is used. Primeval ignorance. Mula avidya it is. That I am this jiva. Right? In Lalla Sahasranam also, this mula avidya comes. Right? So there itself, the calculations have gone wrong. It has begun from there itself. And that is why it's called Kripana. Arjuna says here that I have been affected by this avidya, ajnanam, inside, and I do not know what I have to do. That is what he said there, you see. Dharma sammuda chedaha. Dharma sammuda chedaha means I just do not know what my dharma means. He is willing to accept that. That dharma sammuda chedaha. Karpanya doshava hata subhava prachamitvam dharma sammuda chedaha. So, dharma samuda chedaha means that I just don't know what my dharma means, right? Dharmam is another very complicated thing in the Shastram. It is not easy to know what dharmam is. It's a very complicated thing, this word dharmam, right? Mahabharatam, whole Mahabharatam was meant to teach people what dharmam is. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Mahabharatam to teach the world population what dharma means, right? But page after page he kept writing about what dharma means, right? And ultimately he realized that it is very difficult to precisely define what dharma means, right? There is definition, dharayati iti dharmam and all that. But there is this yaksha prasnam in the Mahabharatam, where yaksha comes to Yudhishthira and asks him, that what is, how do you find out what the actual dharma means, right? So, Yudhishthira's answer was, Yudhishthira finally told him, dharma is a difficult thing. Why? Tarko apradishta shrutayo vibhinna nasho hrishir yasya madamna bhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gadasya pandha. This is the reply from Yudhishthira to Daksha. Yudhishthira's reply was like this. It's a very interesting reply, not answering anything. He says, Mahajano yena gadasa pantha. What Mahatmas have done in the past, you follow them. That's the only way you can do about dharma. Right? So, finding out what dharma means, it's not easy. Right? By logic, it won't work. Logic and reasoning you can't apply to dharma. It won't work. Because what is dharmam in one place may be adharmam in another place. And what is dharmam for brahmachari is adharmam for grihastha. What is dharmam for grihastha is different from adharmam for brahmachari. Like that, there are number of things where if you keep looking at it, individual cases, you will notice that very difficult thing to say what dharmam is, right? So, that is what the first thing. Tarka pradishta. From tarkam, it is not possible to determine what dharma means. And not only that, by arguments, if one has established something as dharmam, some other person comes who is a little bit more intelligent and who can understand things more deeper level, he may be able to argue and prove that all your conclusions are wrong. So, and then you may think that what he is saying is the right thing. Right? And then another person can come and he can argue against that and he can establish something else as dharma. So therefore, that's what it's saying here. Tarko pradishta. Tarkam will not lead into dharmam. Kevalasya tarkasya vipralam bhagatvam. So, therefore, simply depending on tarkam, because that's what happens most of the time, isn't it? Simply by tarkam. Tarkam means this argument, each other. Due to that, it is not possible to establish dharmam. And therefore, Acharya Swamiji says, the only way dharmam can be determined is through Vedam. Acceptance of Vedam as authority. Shruti, Vedam, if you do not accept that, then you will be cheated. This is how Acharya sees that. Great Acharyas always accept authority of the Vedam. Vedam is authority. If you don't accept the authority of the Vedam, then Shruti, then you could be cheated, right? But then you cannot accept Vedam completely. Problem with the Vedam is Vedam says different things at different places. There again problem comes, right? So, it is impossible. For example, in one place Vedam will say karmam, and another place it will talk about jnanam, and then on one place he talks about surgam, going to heavenly planets, right? So, then if you think that I like to follow some particular acharya, and if you try to follow him, you will start following one acharya, and then another acharya says something different. And when you start comparing together between two acharyas' conclusions, nasau krishir yasya matam na bhinnam, they come with two different conclusions. So how would you establish what is dharmam then? Yeah. And so this way, it is difficult to say one rishi, what he said as the whole authority. That is also difficult. One rishi's conclusions alone as the authority is also difficult, right? Then how will you find out dharmam? That's what Yudhishthira is saying there. Tarkau pradishta shradayo vibhinnaha nasau krishir yasya madam na bhinnam. Then he said, dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam means that in order to know what is dharmam or the secret of dharmam, it is hiding inside one's own heart, inside the cave. Means referring to Antaryami. Yeah? Because Antaryami from inside, if he tells you what dharma means, that's dharma. This is the final conclusions. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gadasya pantha. Yeah? So, dharmam, it is difficult to know what it is. By arguments it's not possible. Even after consulting Vedam, you may have difficulty in realizing what dharmam is. Right? Just to give an example, Lord Ramachandra killed Bali. See not? He killed Bali. And one whole chapter, Bali in Ramayanam abuses Ramachandra, one whole chapter, telling him that you did something against dharmam, and he was trying to convince Ramachandra what he did was the wrong thing. And even today people discuss this, about Ramachandra killing Bali, was it the right thing or not, right? So after hearing all that, Ramachandra tells him to Bali, right? I don't feel bad at all. I don't feel anything wrong I have done by killing you. Right? Why? Because what dharma means, you cannot say by looking into the world outside. From outside world, because in outside world, the dharma is decided by the society. Society decides what dharma means. And then it becomes acceptable by the others as well. So, Ramachandra's answer was, one cannot decide dharmam by looking into the world outside, right? And dharmam, the authority on dharmam is not any book. No book is an authority on dharmam. Ramachandra's answer was like that. Yeah. For realized soul, the authority of dharmam is their own Antaryami, Hridayam, from where the decision is made from here, right? So, Antaryami inside knows, or Atma inside knows that what is right and what is wrong, right? And that is to be done, right? What should be done and what should not be done. So, only one who has realized Antaryami, or one who knows who is in the self-realized state, whatever they do is dharmam. That's the conclusion. That's what it is saying there. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam, then mahajanav yena gadasa pantha, right? And one who has not realized Antaryami, one who has not realized the self, he will have a problem in every step in life, confusion about what dharma is, right? And he won't be able to find out what dharma is. So, naturally, one who is self-realized, such a person, he will execute dharma in a natural way from inside, because Antaryami is guiding him all the way through, right? Otherwise, you can see here also, Krishna talks about non-violence as a divine quality in the Bhagavad Gita. Ahimsa, Bhagavatam also. Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Agama, Krodha, Lobada, Buddha, Prihadevacham, Dharmoyam, Sarvavarniya, he said. Ahimsa he kept even before Satyam. Ahimsa he kept before Satyam. And here, Arjuna, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, kill them. In Bhagavatam he said like that. In Bhagavad Gita also, Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam. Similarly, other verses in the Bhagavad Gita you can see where Krishna says, divine nature of a person is Ahimsa. Ahimanitam, Adambitam, Ahimsa, Chandir, Arjavam. So many places. Everywhere Ahimsa is glorified by Krishna himself. And he said it is an essential quality of a devotee or a jnani or a yogi or a gunadhidhan or a siddhaprajan. All of them same qualities he has spoken to all of them. It applies to everybody. That means Krishna is saying that Ahimsa is essential in a person. Essential quality. And then Krishna is saying to Arjuna, kill them. Yudhyasya vigadajwara. He says, Yudhyasya. He's saying there. Is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita, you'll see there. So, when you look at the book, Krishna is saying, don't kill anyone. And then, what do you do in this situation? So, how do you decide that what Krishna said is the right thing? Which one is right? Krishna said both things. On one side, don't kill. Ahimsa is absolutely important, he said. On the other side, he said to Arjuna, go and kill them. Right? So, Krishna is saying, don't look at the book. That's the answer for that. Don't look at the book, right? That power which has created all of us, he has given that decision-making power to all of us, and it is present within us in Antaryami. This is the answer to that. That power which has created all of us, who entered inside into our heart as Antaryami, he has the power to make that decision. That is Krishna's answer to that, right? And that, this is a very subtle topic in the Bhagavad Gita, right? That Prakriti, that is called Prakriti. Prakriti is established inside like that. Only when all your vasanas have gone away, only then you will have the independence to do things. Till then, and knowing this very well, fully realizing that the ultimate goal of is liberation from everything, and therefore, without desiring any results from the karma, whatever that has to be done with this body, that has to be done, and that is dharma. In other words, the purpose of this body is for liberation. That's what purpose this was given to us. Not for working hard in the world, accumulating wealth. They are not purpose for which the body was given. Body was given for self-realization, to become free from the cycle of birth and death. Right? So, but the problem is that there is so much karma vasana we have created inside, and that is inside us. So, keeping the goal of self-realization, without desiring any results from this world, whatever it has been done with this body to be done by the Antaryami, and that has to be carried out under any circumstances. Let me explain that. Finding out one's own dharmam, in order to do that, what is first required? First thing what is required is that the goal of this body is self-realization. All Upanishads, Bhagavatam, everything is very, very clear on that. Purpose of this body is not to do anything else. It's only given to us for, as Krishna said that, is it not? In the Bhagavatam also he says that. Yeah, the particular human body particularly is given to us for self-realization. Yeah. So, and then after that, after accepting that, our own vasanas, lot of vasanas we have inside, in order to get rid of them from our inside, in order to get rid of these vasanas from inside, in our field of karma, we have to operate without expectation of any results from that. That's the first thing. To get rid of the vasanas, in our field of activities, whatever we are doing, it has to be executed in such a way, nishkamam, nishkama karma they call it, isn't it? So, if it is done like that, then it is dharma. Right? So, whatever occupation you have chosen, and it is difficult to give it up. It is not possible to give it up, right? And just like everyone's body is something like this, we have different instruments. For example, there is tape recorder, there is cassette recorder, there is CD player, there is washing machine, there is a cooker, and so many different kinds of equipments, right? So, function of one machine, the other machine cannot do. Those machines can only do what it is meant to do. Isn't it? Washing machine cannot do the cooker's job. Cooker cannot do the washing machine's job. So, in the same way, Arjuna has been created for a particular purpose, to fight. He is a Kshatriya and he has that vasana inside him. He is meant to fight, right? If you make Arjuna a sannyasi, it won't work. And you know the story. He dressed up as sannyasi before. And then what happened? So, only thing is, while coming back, he brought Subhadra with him. So, Krishna knows this very well, that making Arjuna a sannyasi won't work. Right? So, Arjuna is saying that to Krishna also, that that's what that verse is. Karpanya doshabhakrata subhavam means, just like the clouds are covering the sun, in the same way, this karpanya dosham has come to my subhavam. Karpanya dosham, right? That means the real nature my real nature is covered with something, right? And therefore I don't know, karpanya dosham, due to that, I don't know what dharma means. Arjuna is saying this. Karpanya dosha bhakta subhavam prichami tvam dharma samoda chedaha. Right? So, what should I do in this situation? Like Arjuna has asked. Right? So, devotees ask all these questions sometimes to Mahalmas. One person asked the same question, similar question to Maharshi also, Ramana Maharshi. And he told him, Maharshi told him that, you inquire yourself who you are, and then whatever that has to happen through you will happen on its own way. And this question has no meaning, he said. Why? Because what I should do and what I should not do, that question doesn't arise, he said. Because you have to become simply an instrument in the hands of that higher power. That's how he answered that. You see, the thing is that we are used to learning things through intelligence and mind. We have not learned the science of spirituality the way it should be done. Like, when someone is surrendered to Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita and accepting that, then this kind of question shouldn't come after that. Because Krishna is saying, if you have surrendered, then why are you asking all these questions then? Then what, you listen and do what I am telling you to do. Otherwise, where is the surrender? So, here, the answer is that you will become simply an instrument in the hands of the higher force, and that force will make you to do the right thing, what you have to do. In other words, what he is saying is, when you are doing something, that ahankaram won't be there. Ahankaram won't be there. Now when we do things, I am doing it. That is very strong inside us, right? And so, I am doing, I am not doing, that bhavam will not be there. So, this I am doing, I am not doing, all these things goes away, and everything has to, will happen through that body, what it is meant to happen. What is meant to happen. And that is a situation with a realized soul. Jnani's situation realized to people that is how they operate in this world. Whatever has to happen will happen through the body, right? So Arjuna is saying this, that one who does not know the dharmam, he will become moda. Dharma sammoda chedaha, he says. He becomes a moda. Acharyas have given this name to all of us, moda, not abusing us, but what it means is that in our buddhi, it has become frozen inside. It's not operating. Buddhi is not operating. And in other words, you can say dull-headed. We have become dull-headed. Mudha means not the way we think about, not idiot or stupid or anything like that. Mudha means one who thinks jadam is real. Jadam means matter. Matter is real. One who thinks like that, which means is mudha. Dharma sammoda chedaha, I said. What is mudhatvam? Mudhatvam means this thinking that dead matter is all real. Krishna is saying matter is not real. So more all of us think matter is real. Is it not? That is why we live there. So Krishna is saying there, Krishna is showing to him that what is Shreyas and what is Prayas. So Kathopanishad mentions that, is it not? If you look at the Kathopanishad, it talks about Shreyas and Prayas. Shreyascha Prayascha Manishya Metam Thauso Paritya Vivinakti Dhiraha Shreyo Hi Dhirobi Prayaso Vrinide Prayo Mando Yoga Shemad Vrinide. It is that verse, it is important. What is Shreyas and what is Prayas? He says, Shreyas and Prayas are two things. Shreyas is knowledge, self-realization, all that. Prayas means happiness in this world, sense gratification and enjoying life. This is prayas. Both these two ways, paths are open in front of us, right? And an intelligent person will properly evaluate these two and he will choose the path of shreyas. He knows very well the path of Shreyas will get him to the goal, to reach the goal, whereas the path of Prayas will entangle him and he will have to go through several times birth and death in future. Right? So, intelligent person who has known this, he will, that's what he's saying here. Shreyascha Prayascha Manushyam Edam Thausam Paritya Vivinakti Dhiraha Shreyohi Dhirobi Prayaso Vrinite Prayo Mando Yoga Kshemad Vrinide. After Mandabuddhi means a dull-headed person, he will look after for his temporary happiness and he will choose prayas. The intelligent person will see what is ultimately benefit for him and he will choose shreyas. The dull-headed person will choose what is immediately giving him pleasure and he will choose the path of prayas. Right? So, Shreyas is difficult, but what it does is gradually it purifies the jiva and will eventually get him to the position of self-realization, right? That is a Shreyas. And Prayomargam, on the other hand, the Prayas is very glamorous, it is, but it is always will tempt you to go in that direction, in the path of Prayas, right? One who is able to discriminate Shreyas and Prayas, an intelligent person will go in the path of Shreyas, right? And those who do not have any knowledge, they will go in the path of Prayas, right? Both of them will come in front of us. So, a person died and the jiva left the body, right? And then the jiva is going in one particular, this is to explain this background, right? So, he was traveling in a road and he got into a place and there was a diversion. Two ways, one goes this way, one goes the other way, right? First road goes to the hell, the other one goes to the heaven, right? So, he started thinking, which way should I go? Right? So, when he looked at the way to the hell, the road is very good. Well maintained and well, nice to drive through. When he looked at the hell, the road looked very broken and, like our road sometimes. Yeah. So, he went through, he decided that the road to heaven, he looked at it, there is no lights there, full of potholes and everything, whereas the road to hell is built very well, right? So he asked this question to someone, why is that this way to heaven is so bad, full of potholes and no lights, nothing like that, right? And on the other hand, the other one looks very good, he said. So other person said, because most of the heavy traffic is on this road, he said, the one that goes to the hell, right? And he says that in the night time, all these big politicians and these businessmen, and they all come at night, and it is for their benefit that the road is kept well, lighted very well, and there is no potholes, the roads are good. And so because they are coming, politicians and the businessmen, and they know which way they have to go, and they'll go in that direction, he said, right? So, and therefore it is maintained very well, because that road is very busy, right? So the other road, rarely anyone comes on that one, he said. So these two roads comes in front of us. The one who is less intelligent, he will accept that one which is very comfortable to drive through, but end up in the hell, right? Senses are like that. Our senses will drag us in that direction, right? So, once you got stuck in the sense gratification, right, which is the glamorous path, Arjuna is asking that question. Ye shreyasyal nishchidam bruhi tanme. Third line. Ye shreyasyal nishchidam bruhi tanme, he says. I don't know what is shreyas. Arjuna is saying this. Show me the path, shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. And this is a very important situation in one's life. Yeah. Arjuna is holding on to Krishna's lotus feet and asking him, tell me, what should I do? Up to this time, Arjuna treated Krishna as his friend, Sakhava, friend, right? Now, Krishna's position has gone up. Arjuna's position has come down, right? And as far as he is concerned, that he is accepting that I am to be disciplined, disciple. I am a disciple, Shishya, right? Shishyasteham, Shadimam Tvam Prabhannam. Disciple means one who is willing to accept, or is ready to be disciplined, who is willing to accept the, willing to be disciplined, in other words, right? So, even the whole lifetime, even if you had no instructions from the Guru, you are not supposed to ask anything. That is the degree of surrender required. Even if the Guru has not told you anything to do, whole lifetime, still you are not allowed to ask anything. I have become your disciple. Why you have not given me any instructions? You shouldn't ask that question, right? Because, similarly, if you have not been given food, you didn't have food to eat, you shouldn't ask. And if he chastises you, you should be willing to listen. And that is the unconditional surrender that is required. Yeah. So disciple and a friend, there's a huge difference, isn't it? When you become a disciple, then the guru's bhavam or his attitude changes. Guru's relationship changes, right? One who is ready to be disciplined is a disciple, right? So, sometimes once you have taken shelter or surrendered to Him, He may not give you any instructions, right? There are so many stories like that. But if one continues his service with surrender, and whatever Guru decides or whatever happens, is willing to accept it, then he has decided within himself that, disciple has decided that the Guru knows more than me. Guru knows what is the right thing. And he knows about me more than what I know about myself. This is the relationship between the Guru and the disciple. The Guru disciple has to know that the Guru knows more than me, about me, he knows more than what I know about me, right? And that is a symptom of Sharanagati. Sharanagati means that, yeah. So, Sharanagati, when you are doing this Sharanagati, if you don't doing that, there's only alternative is another thing, is Jnanamargam, right? Jnanamargam, it is like this, you don't do any Sharanagati to anybody, but directly you are inquiring what your Swarupam is in the Jnanamargam, right? So, and you keep on doing that, inquiring about the Guru who is present inside as Antaryami. That is what is spoken mostly in the Bhagavatam. Acharya Chaitya Vapusho Sogadhyam Vinasti Ekadasha Skandam, you will see Krishna is saying that. The Jnanamargam, the process of Guru present inside as the Antaryami, right? If this is not possible, like the Jnanis do, then the alternative that, to accept this, I don't know anything about myself, and someone who knows more about me than me, I accept him as the Guru, right? So you have to have such a Guru, otherwise, you will remember, in the 8th canto, Guru Tattvam is spoken. If you remember the Matsyavataram story, there you will find, when he spoke about the Guru-tattvam, so Satyavrata, the fish incarnation speaks about that in the eighth canto, 24th chapter. Fiftieth verse. Achakshurandasya yadagrani krita tadha janasya avidusho abudho guru tomarkadrak sarvadrasham samikshano brudho gururna sugadim bhubul sadam. This is the conversation between the king Satyavrata and the fish. Krishna comes as a fish in that, isn't it? The 24th chapter. So he says, Achakshurandasya yadagrani krita tadha janasya avidisho abudho guru tom arkadrak sarvadrasham samikshano brudho gurur na sugadim bhubul sadam. Here, what he is saying, that one who does not have eye, andhayadandai upaniyamanam, blind people, right? There was a meeting, a lot of blind people together. They had a meeting together. And in that, one blind person spoke. He said that all these years, we were guided by someone who has got eyes. We are all blind. So we were guided by someone who has got eyes, right? We don't want this anymore. We can manage on our own. All the blind men together, met together and made this decision, right? And he is saying to them, I will lead everybody from now on. You see? He says, Achakshurandasa yada agrani krida tada janasa avidusho abudho guru tom arkadrak sarvadrasham samikshanam. So, we have to change this, and saying like that, he is, now what will happen if this blind person is going to lead us? In other words, what he is saying is, Guru, if you start thinking that I will find a Guru and look for one, it will not work. The process is like that. If you think that I look for a Guru and I'll find one, that will not work, right? Because this Guru-disciple relationship is a very subtle thing, extremely subtle, right? It is yogigam, not baudhigam. In other words, it is not based on the mental relationship, it is not on a material relationship, it is yogigam. Yogigam means it's on a yoga level, it happens, right? Guru-shishya-bandham. So, people always ask this question, how do I find a Guru? Where can I find one? In this way, right? That question has no meaning. Reason being, just like if you look at the mirror, and then we come to know that that's me inside the mirror. In a similar way, by Krishna's arrangement, when that Guru who is supposed to take you out from here, when he comes in front of you, without any doubt, you will know that he is going to be my Guru. This arrangement is in the Prakriti. In the nature, it is there. It's always there and it will be there, right? So, and once you've got to know that, then there won't be any need for any instructions even, right? Everything will happen in whatever has to happen will happen in that way perfectly. And then you know that the path what he is going to show you, it may not be thing what you thought it is your path, right? So, who should be one's guru? And how he should guide you, and where you have to get all these things already decided in spiritual life. It's already decided, right? And accordingly, that power, supreme power, will take us to that point and get us there. Will take us there and get us there, right? Up to this point, Arjuna could not see Krishna as his guru. He could not. He saw him as a friend, right? And always he was with Krishna for a long time, while eating, while sleeping, all this time, while joking. You can see that in the first canto mentioned, isn't it? In the first canto, how the relationship between Arjuna and Krishna was, is spoken there. Narmani udare rujirasmida shobhidani. He partha he Arjuna sakhe. Kuru nandanedi. Sanjalpidani naradeva hridis prushani. Smartur ludhandi hridayam mamamathavasya. If you read that verse, we can see the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna. What it was before he became the disciple. Very close friends, joking each other, and always enjoying, making jokes and enjoying together. And each other calling, Hey Partha, Hey Arjuna, Sakhe, Kuru Nandanedi. That's how Krishna used to call him like that. Sanjalpidani Naradeva Hridis Prashani Smartur Lutandi Hridayam Mama Mathavasya. When that relationship, Arjuna remembers that later. Yeah. So, Bhagavadam is talking about that relationship prior to Bhagavad Gita was spoken to him. So, lot of joking and enjoying together, right? At that time, Arjuna didn't see Krishna as his guru. He never saw him as his guru. But when this crisis came in life of fighting this Mahabharata war, the whole situation changed. Situation changed, right? At that time, Arjuna is seeing Krishna, in Krishna, a guru's role. Earlier, he never saw that in Krishna as his guru. Only when a crisis came in life, Arjuna started seeing guru's role in Krishna. The shift you can see in Arjuna, what happened, right? So, immediately as he realized inside that Krishna has to lift me up from my situation, and he was willing to surrender, Charanagati happened, right? Shishyasteham Shadimam Swam Prabhanam. I am your disciple, Krishna is, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, show me the path, right? And he did Sharanagati, and Sharanagati is called Prabhati. Another word is Prabhati, right? Prabhati means Sharanagati without expecting anything in return. Sharanagati without expecting anything in return is called Prabhati, right? So he did that, and after Sharanagati, one should not ask that what will happen to me. You should not ask that question, right? In Vaishnava Sampradayam, like Ramanuja Sampradayam and all, they have a ritual called Sharanagati. What they do is they will put different symbols on different parts of the body. That's their Sharanagati rituals, right? So, that is not Sharanagati in spirit. That's only a ritual part of that, right? So, that is done only to make you inspired for Sharanagati. Sharanagati is not putting on these symbols or even offering obeisances. That is also not Sharanagati. Just because you offered obeisances to someone, that doesn't mean that Sharanagati has been done, right? One person used to come and offer obeisances to Ramana Maharshi all the time, right? So, Maharshi thought, what is this person thinking about Sharanagati? What's this understanding? Does he think this offering obeisances is like an exercise or something? He asked this question, right? So, the proper understanding is that this ahangaram inside us, what we have, all of us, that ahangaram won't waking up again inside. That is the Sharanagati state. If the ahangaram comes up again in some form, sometimes after Sharanagati, some people do this, that they have said that I have taken my shelter of my spiritual master, and then he will advise the spiritual master what to do. So what Sharanagati has happened? There is no Sharanagati there. Sharanagati means, that is the difficulty. Sharanagati is not easy. So, shariram, in our body, you are offering it to them as a token of, this offering obeisances is a token of showing that I have left identification with the body when you are offering the obeisances, right? This body is standing only because of the ahangaram. If ahangaram leaves the body, body will drop. That's the principle, right? And that is natural. For example, someone is standing there, but if the ahangaram leaves him, or in other words, if the ego goes away, or ahangaram goes away, the body will drop. In other words, what keeps this body going is this individuality inside, ahangaram. Ego. That's the individuality. It is that individuality that is keeping this body going on in this world. If individuality goes away, then the body will drop, right? So, it is that individuality that is keeping the body together, the hands, the legs, everything, right? what it means is that Sharanagati has to come in such a way that only you are my shelter, like Arjuna has done. Only Krishna is shelter. And complete control of this body, mind, everything is in your hands. Yeah. Body, mind, buddhi, ahangaram, all these things, we are thinking it's ours now, but it's not anymore mine, right? And surrendering everything together, the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, everything together to Guru, right? So performing yagam and all that, you will see in the Vedic times when they are offering the ahuti, they will recite the mantram, and you will see at every mantram Agnaye Swaha Idam Na Mama. This Idam Na Mama is an important statement there. Why is that? It is saying there, it is not mine. Idam Na Mama, right? So you are offering to the Agni and saying to the Agni, Idam Na Mama, it is from that word this Namaskaram has come. So that Arpana Bhavam, that offering like that, is called Sharanagati. And Sharanagati won't come very easily, right? For that to happen, Sharanagati to happen, first of all, I have to get convinced, full conviction, that I cannot do it. Only then it is possible. Sharanagati can only happen when one is convinced that he cannot do it. He is not able to do it on his own, right? When will that happen? That will only happen after he has tried very hard for that. And then he finally comes to this conclusion. So first he has to work very hard, and after that, ultimately he realizes that he cannot do it, and then only Sharanagati can happen, right? So Sharanagati is not an easy thing. And one person has tied a rope on his waist, and he's trying to climb a big hill, right? And he reached a particular height, and at that time he lost his grip on the thing, and he fell, right? And when he looked down, there was a huge depth, he's going to fall, right? And he's holding on to the rope, and when he's looked up to the top, he saw a mice is biting the rope on which he was holding. And if they keep on biting the rope, and if he eats the rope is going to break any time, right? Only going to take a few minutes, right? So when he looked down such a deep place, and when he looked upstairs, he saw the rope is going to get cut any moment by the mouse, right? So he prayed to Krishna that protect me, I'm going to fall, he said. So he heard a voice from the sky saying that, I'll protect you, but leave your grip on the rope. Just leave it, he said. Any moment it is going to break. So, therefore leave that, he said. He said that to when the sky said like that, from the sky, he says, I can't do that, he said. How can I leave the rope? Where is a guarantee that if I leave the rope that you will protect me? Where is the guarantee? He said. So then the rope broke and he fell, right? What does that story say? Story is this, the conclusion is this, that Jiva by nature has no faith in higher protection. We have no faith. We will say so many things about protection from Krishna, dependence on Krishna, surrender to Krishna, and all, we will talk about it. But strictly speaking, we have no faith in all those things. Right? So, but that is his nature. He has no faith. Added to that, he is ajnani. He has got avidya as well. Right? So, this story is spoken to tell us this. Our lifespan is getting reduced day by day. That is what that mice biting the rope is an indication, that our lifespan is continuously coming down. And sooner or later we will die and gone. And there is no way of escaping from that. Yeah. And in the middle of that, we have got an opportunity. The ego has an opportunity for Sharanagati, so that he can take Krishna shelter. That's our situation. In this life, before death comes, we have an opportunity to take Krishna shelter. That's all it is. Just like this case of this person who's holding onto the rope, right? And if we don't do it, then you lost it, then you go to the next body. That's the only option left for us. This is our situation, right? Sometimes people say that it is 50% you and 50% God. They say like that, don't they? People sometimes say like that, 50% yours and 50% God, right? So, so, first thing, one has to work hard oneself, right? And that is what Krishna was saying at that one stage. He said this. Krishna said that. Uddharyadalpanalpanam. That is that stage. That first you have to work very hard from your side for developing spiritually. And there he said, Krishna said, that you are your own friend, you are your own enemy. All these things in that verse. Uddharyadalpanalpanam, alpanam avasadayat, alpanev, alpano bandhu, alpaiva ripur alpana, he said. You are your friend, you are your enemy. That is one stage in spiritual life. One stage, right? You have to elevate yourself, right? And no Ishvara, God, is going to come and help you, he said, right? You have to help yourself. That is one stage in spiritual life, right? Which means, you have tried very hard, as much as you could, in your own effort, and ultimately you realize that you can't do it on your own. That is when Sarvadharman Parityaja comes. Sarvadharman Parityaja on day one doesn't happen. It's not possible. Sarvadharman Parityaja, that verse comes, kicks in at that stage. When the jiva has tried very hard on his own, to advance in spiritual life, to realize the truth. So these are two different situations in a jiva's spiritual path. Jiva comes to spiritual life, initially it is all uddharedalpanalpanam. Krishna says, work hard, do everything what is necessary to make progress in spiritual path. But you have tried very hard, and at some point, you realize that you cannot do it. You have to come to that, because most of us think like that, isn't it? Oh, I've done everything what I've been told, everything I've done, but it's not happening. Nothing is happening. We all come to that understanding at some point in time. So, Krishna is saying this. It is at that situation, when you have realized that you cannot do it on your own, you need the support, help from Krishna. That is when Sarvadharman Parityaja comes in, right? It will only be effective at that time when you say to someone, Sarvadharman Parityaja. First day itself you tell everyone, Sarvadharman Parityaja, it won't work. Because you have not done anything. You are going and telling him, Sarvadharman Parityaja. How can you do Sarvadharman Parityaja? He will ask you the same question. Like the man who was falling, he says, what's the guarantee if I give up everything, whether you will protect me or not? No. That is not the question to be asked at that point. Sarvadharman Parityaja, you ask that question, you say that to someone, only at that time a jiva has executed everything in spiritual life, as told by the Shastram, and as instructed by he has made his own way through Uddharedalpanalpanam, what Krishna has spoken, right? Because ahankaram, ego inside us, will not accept easily that you cannot do it on your own. That ahankaram will dictate from inside, you can manage it, I can do it, I don't need anybody's support, right? So to come to that position inside, it takes time, right? So, ahankaram will not easily get convinced on this issue. Ahankaram won't, right? So, that is why people will generally say that Sharanagati, Sharanagati and all that, it's all just words only, doesn't mean anything, right? Sometimes people will say, oh, everything Krishna is doing, what can I do? People will talk like that, right? But at the same time, they won't leave everything to Krishna. They'll say that Krishna is doing everything. What can I do? Everything is in Krishna's control in that way. So here the problem is that the ahankaram inside is still not convinced on that, and that he is not able to do anything. When will that happen? That will only happen after he has put enough effort on his own, and after putting all the effort, and then when he fails, that's when he will understand that he cannot do it. Yeah. So with that, then he won't say me 50% and Krishna 50%. He won't say that anymore, right? So when that happens, the 50% from Krishna will come. One child told his mother, he was going to school, right? The mother was telling the child, you're not studying anything. How are you going to pass the examination, he said. Must be an Indian mother. So the mother said to the child, you're not studying anything. All the time you're playing. You're not doing anything. So son says to the mother, you told me it is 50% me and 50% God. So if he gives me his 50%, I'll pass. So why do I have to work so hard? The son is answering. He wants to play. He doesn't want to study, right? So in this way, we will interpret things in this way in our mind, right? Because we are stuck in our buddhi and mind. Buddhi and mind will interpret things in a differently. So the secret is this of Sharanagati is like this. We have to understand in the way it is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Before Sharanagati happens, that verse, Uddharedalpana alpanam alpanam avasadayet. One has to work very hard, do all the sadhana, upasana, everything required, nishta, and puja, dhyanam, meditation, everything what is possible, swadhyayam, salsangam, everything required. One should do hard, everything work very hard on one's own. And then after a long time, when he realizes that he cannot do it, in spite of everything, my ahankaram is not leaving me, he's not allowing me to surrender. And when he is thinking like that, that is the time you surrender. And that is when that sarvadharman parityajya applies, not otherwise. Lot of time people are saying these words very freely as though sarvadharman parityajya is a very simple thing. Sarvadharman parityajya coming from this in this stage only, sarvadharman parityajya will apply. Otherwise it won't, right? So, Sharanagati, if it is done, it only done once. After that, there is no more going back again, right? Only once, right? Because once you have done Sharanagati, there is no more ahankaram anymore. That means there is no more jiva after that. There is no jiva, there is no ahankaram, right? Then only what exists is Antaryami, Krishna inside, who is Ishvara. Ishvara as Antaryami inside, only he exists then. There is no more there is no more jiva, there is no more ahankaram, right? Because one who has done proper Sharanagati, there won't be ahankaram anymore. And there is nobody anymore there to say that I have done Sharanagati. Who says that? Ahankaram says that. I have done Sharanagati. That I goes away after that. That is actual Sharanagati, right? Because one who has done Sharanagati, Krishna swallows him completely. His ego is gone. And Mrityunjaya, another name of Krishna, that with the fear of death, one who has surrendered to him, what he will do, he is Mrityunjaya, that is how that name, Mrityunjaya Homam is there for Lord Shiva, it's performed. It's all done with this understanding that he comes and swallows him. Ahankaram died, and after that, he has become immortal. He has no more death after that, right? So, Sharanagati means it's an instantaneous realization. And due to when you're doing Sharanagati, it's not happening due to the power of Ahankaram. It is not due to the power of Ahankaram Sharanagati happens, right? When Jiva finds helpless and totally taking shelter of Antaryami inside, in his presence, just like in front of fire, like the candle starts melting, the wax starts melting, Similarly, it is a process inside what happens to anyone. Sometimes people will say, he has done Sharanagati, right? So, once it starts melting, the candle starts melting, candle, the wax doesn't have capacity on its own to survive the heat, right? And it has no choice then, isn't it? The candle, the wax has no choice. In the closeness of the heat, the wax will melt when it is closer to the heat, right? Similarly, in the presence of a higher power, the jiva's ego will die straight away. That is this comparison between the wax and the fire. Just like the wax is melting in presence of the fire, in presence of this higher personality, authority, the jiva's ahankaram just melts. And that is Sharanagati. That is Sharanagati, right? And even if you want to prevent it happening, it won't work. It will melt automatically, right? So, but to know the presence of that sanniti of a higher personality, the jiva has to mature first. That maturity has to happen, right? That requires tapasya. And what is that tapasya? Continuously struggling in this world, in the spiritual path, for many, many years, and he has to become mature in that way. That is the time the guru comes in life, in spiritual life, right? And with constant effort and the constant struggle, this ego inside has to completely break down. Totally break down of the ego inside, and that is tapasya. And everything what is required for that is tapasya. That destroys the ahankaram inside. That is the point when Sharanagati can happen. And in that situation, the person whom he is supposed to meet with, the guru comes. And in that guru's presence, this ahankaram completely gets destroyed. It does not come up again, right? So, before this tapasya includes a lot of things. What does it mean? First of all, distress comes in life. It is suffering a lot in this world, right? And that makes a jiva ready for Sharanagati. Distress in life. A lot of distress in life when it comes, that will change him, right? And when he gets this all this distress, it will be like gold which is shining in such a way. Jiva will shine at that moment. Only at that moment, the jiva will have the maturity for Sharanagati. These are all subtle things in the spiritual side. We are making it too much an official thing. Sharanagati and surrender and initiation and all that. It's more like a ritual now. It's nothing more than that. But the subtle aspect of that is important. And from Bhagavad Gita, you can understand that. With this relationship between Krishna and Arjuna, this particular, that is why this verse is so important. Karpanya dosha bhakrata subhavam prachamitvam dharma sammoda chedaha eshrayasyal nishchidam druhidanme shishyasteham shadimam prabhanam. See the depth of that verse? How deep that verse is? How does Sharanagati happens? Who is a disciple? What is disciple means? What stage is he a disciple? Before you become a disciple, what all has to happen in his life? Before coming into spiritual life, lot of distress has to happen. Only when one comes through all these things, he is a properly matured fruit. Otherwise, it is just like anybody else. You can have numbers, 50,000 and 100,000. It's all useless. Totally useless. It's okay, it is good in certain sense that you are living a reasonable good life, but the effect of impact of Bhagavad Gita is to go through these stages. First thing, then ahankaram is there. When ahankaram is there, uddhared alpan alpanam, alpanam avasadayet, alpaneva, alpano bandhu, alpaneva ribir alpana. Atma is your friend, atma is your enemy. On that platform, you have to keep working. Do all the sadhana, do the tapasya, distress is coming, and in your burning inside to realize, but you are not able getting anywhere. And when it finally comes to a certain stage, that maturity has happened in the jiva, that is when sarvadharman paritya happens at that stage. And then only at that stage it will work, right? So that becoming that maturity of a jiva, you can see that in people. There are two types of people. Some people, they suffer a lot in life, right? And suffering a lot, ultimately through salsangam, and they must have gone for so many salsangams and so many association with listening from others, and they will become very matured inside, and they will wait. In other words, they will be very controlled inside after they have matured well in life, right? They are not in a hurry to do anything. In a natural way, they will be very peaceful, and this is one type of people, right? Then, this is one nature. We are talking about general class of people, how people are in spiritual life, right? Some people, they take every opportunity for salsangam, for when distress comes in life, they will analyze very well in within their own mind why these problems are happening. And they will read books, shastram a lot, study a lot. And in this way, they will mature on their own, individually. They will mature themselves, right? And they are not in a hurry to do anything. They will wait for things to happen in its own way. There are people like that, right? Then there is another group of people. The second type is who are very much addicted to karma. And because they believe in this world so strongly, so addicted to the world, and the control of impact of the world is so strong. And this is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. He put it that, fourth chapter, I think. Jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. So these two different types of people always existed in this world. One who is thoughtful, and one who very early itself, due to lot of reasons, lot of sufferings in life had happened to them, and they were became very inward looking in a natural way, without anybody telling them, because of the suffering in this world. They became very inward looking, thoughtful and inward looking. And then they took shelter of salsangam, swadhyayam, tapasya, everything what could be done in their level, they have done all that. And they will stay quietly because they have become very, inward, very matured, internally, very matured. And they will not do anything in a rush. They will wait for the right thing to happen because they know, like the distress has come, one day in spiritual life also, they will get the they'll wait for the Antaryami to tell them what to do next. They are willing to wait for that. That is nature of some people, not everybody, some of them. Some others who are completely caught up in this world with work, with all sorts of entanglement in this world, right? And they will not be easy to, they won't be, it will be possible for them to do that way. They cannot do it. Because they are practically controlled by the world outside, right? And they are always like this, all the time, doing one thing or the other, jumping from one to another. And sometimes try this, sometimes try that, and always disturbed state. And they won't, therefore, so they also will find it very difficult, right? Both these two type of people, they become matured when distress comes in life, either way. The one who is very active in life, doing all sorts of things, and feeling that he has got a lot of responsibility in this world, and feeling that if I don't do this, who will take care of all these things? Everything feeling so responsible about that. That person who is working hard and is trying to keep everything together, that person, he also, when he gets a lot of distress, he will also start thinking in a different way, right? So it is because of that, Shastram says, when distress comes in life, you shouldn't hate it. When distress comes in life, you should not hate that, right? So, what Krishna is saying here, this is the science behind these verses. Yeah. Sometimes devotees will say, I've chanted all rounds, I've did so much deity worship, then why this trouble is coming to me? Why I have all these problems happening in my life? Because they are thinking that if I have done all these things, Krishna will change your prarabdham. That's what people are thinking like that. So if you take that approach in spiritual life, very soon you will leave spiritual life. Because, therefore he says, so that question you should never ask. That you have done and why all these problems are coming, right? Just like you see, small examples. You go to temples, they give you prasadam, isn't it? And prasadam, Krishna's prasadam, first prasadam is this dukkham. Distress is the prasadam first, right? Why does he does that? Why does he do that? To make the jiva pakvam. To make the jiva matured, right? Because normally a jiva will not perform tapasya. If you do tapasya, vasana will go. But our normal ordinary jiva's tendency is not to do tapasya, want to enjoy. So when it is like that, the only way Krishna can force that jiva to become pakvam is by giving him distress. This is the principle behind that. That jiva gets the distress because jiva is not willing to perform any penances, austerities on his own. He won't do it. He will always look for the comfort zone. So if a jiva has to come to spiritual life and to make some advancement, the only thing can happen is when he gets distress, right? So through tapasya, vasana kshayam is difficult. Vasana kshayam means destruction of the vasanas is difficult, right? So therefore, Krishna gives you a tapasya, and that tapasya is this distress comes. Tapam, right? And that is why Arjuna was called as param tapa. Param tapa, right? Means one who has, he was capable of doing tapasya, Arjuna. And he has done that tapasya. 14 years he spent in the forest, right? Wandered around everywhere when he had to go to the forest, is it not? And a lot of distress they experienced in the forest. Even though they came from the royal family, they had to go through a lot of suffering there. So, but a person like Arjuna, he somehow managed to hold on to it, right? And whatever suffering he had in the forest, he accepted all that, tolerated everything, right? So the result was that, because he has done all that tapasya in the forest, all because of that, when he came to friend of Krishna, he was able to say to Krishna, Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. This he was able to say, you see the frame of mind of Arjuna, how Arjuna matured himself before he became Krishna's disciple. Arjuna accepted all the sufferings in his life because he had to face a lot of problems with Duryodhana. And Duryodhana, Kuntidevi and the children, they wandered around everywhere in Bharata Bhumi. There were so many places they went because everywhere Duryodhana was sending his people and giving them trouble. And Kuntidevi had to protect the children. Arjuna was the middleman out of the Pandavas. And they were not grown up enough to fight Duryodhana at that time. And so Arjuna and Pandavas, they had gone through hard times in life. And this has matured Arjuna. And because of that only, that this Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam happened. Otherwise it wouldn't have happened. That he was, when distress came and this crisis came in life, he was able to turn around to Krishna and say to him, I'm surrendering to you. And I don't know what I have to do. You have to help me. I don't know what I have to do. That humility inside in Arjuna has happened because of the tapasya he has done before. That's why it's called parantapa there, right? So this thing, he was able to say that. And otherwise this surrender, in order that surrender to happen, a person has to be very refined inside. very refined inside, right? Samskrita Chittam, it's called. One whose vasanas have gone a lot from inside. Otherwise, it is not possible. For example, Krishna and Arjuna, they behaved as though very close friends before. From that situation, suddenly to change like this, it's not possible for a friend. Suppose two people are very close friends, and a disaster happened, and one able to say to the other that I take your shelter, guide me what I have to do. To say that, the ahankaram won't allow that inside. When you had a relationship like that before. But Arjuna was able to do that. How did that happen? Because of the tapasya, before all the sufferings what he had, right? So, he said that I am your disciple, shishyasteham shadimam tvam prabannam. Please instruct me and save me, he said. And saying that he did that Sharanagati. That is why that verse is very important. To understand how Sharanagati happens. And to understand that what Sharanagati means. And also how Sharanagati happened to Arjuna. The background behind that. It's all in that verse. And Krishna and Arjuna said there, what has happened. He is willing to admit that. That's not easy, isn't it? It's not easy. He says, Karpanya Dosham has come to me, and due to that, Abhada Subhav, my Subhav has become like this. And due to that, what happened? Dharma Sammoda Chedaha. To say like this to Arjuna, for Arjuna to Krishna, it's not easy. Arjuna's, you have to read through Arjuna's mind what is going through before he said this. Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. So at this point, Krishna looked at Arjuna, and Arjuna understood that. Even of when you do Sharanagati, the jiva will have some desires inside, right? And if I do Sharanagati, it will solve the problem, right? And if you start thinking like that and do Sharanagati, that's not Sharanagati. The Sharanagati is a very difficult thing even to understand it properly, what Sharanagati is, right? Everyone in this world is a beggar. The sannyasis also, they wander around, they go around with a bhiksha patram, isn't it? Good sannyasis. Sannyasi means is asking for bhiksha. In the modern world, sannyasis ask bhiksha in a modern way. In a different way. But basically what is the difference? There is no difference. The older days the sannyasis will have a pot, bichapatram. With that they will go and ask for food from different houses. The modern day sannyasis, what do? They are also begging with the big businessmen, big rich people. They go, but they beg, again they are begging, nothing else. There is no difference at all. Basically both are beggars. So sannyasa means that begging. Role, right? So he is saying here that normal sannyasi, even though he is running with a bhiksha patram, with that pot, inside they are emperors in the sense that in the mundane world, very rich people, they also have desires inside. So anyone who has desires inside means he is a beggar. One who has desires means he is a beggar. He wants to fulfill his desires. That means he wants something from outside. He wants something from outside means he is a beggar. No matter who it is, rich or poor, right? So sometimes you will see people have got Rolls Royce, they are driving Rolls Royce car, but inside they want so many things. Beggars they are, right? So such people will never have any shanti inside. It is not possible. So Krishna looked at Arjuna at this moment when Arjuna said this word, this message, right? So is he still wanting something? Arjuna wanting something, right? And at that time Arjuna is saying to him, I don't want anything anymore. Because this can happen. Sharanagati he has done, But still Krishna is looking at him. Does he want anything after that? So look at the next verse. For that, to say to Krishna, I don't need anything anymore. So that is the next verse, right? Nahi prapashyami mamam nidyat yat shogam uchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma asavatnam ruddham rajyam suranam abhi chadhipatyam. Arjuna is saying to Krishna that I don't want anything. I've done Sharanagati and I don't want anything. Yeah. And my shogam, my distress, to get rid of that, except you, nobody else can do that for me. And even he said there, you see, Rajyam Suranam Abhi Chadhipatyam. These are not empty verses. Arjuna means that when he says that, even I don't want the authority in the heavenly planets, he says. Arjuna is saying this. I don't even want any control of the heavenly planets. Rajyam Suranam Abhi Chadhipatyam, he says. And so that is that eighth verse. The eighth verse was spoken because after Sharanagati, Krishna looks at Arjuna to see if he has any further desire still left. Then it is not Sharanagati. Sharanagati means no more any desires after that. Yeah. So one great yogi, he goes to his guru, and first time, he found out that she is going to be my guru, it was a lady, and to her, he says, I am doing my Sharanagati, you are my guru, he said to her. So immediately she told him, made him to take a vow, that from now on, and if you want to be my disciple, from now on, either on the material level or in the spiritual level, even if you have not made any progress, you should not make any complaint. She said to him. I think it happened with Anandamayi Ma. Somebody went to her and told her like this, that I want to be your disciple. And she told him straight away that she was making it clear that from now on, that even if you don't make any progress materially or spiritually, you should not make any complaint about that. So all desires have to leave him. All desires, material as well as spiritual. Desiring has to completely come to an end, right? So if you do that, she said, I will accept you as my disciple. So at that moment he surrendered completely to her. And later on, he was a great devotee, this person who did that. And so the thing is that if desires leaves a person completely, that's bhakti. That's bhakti, right? So that is why you remember Vritrasura in Bhagavatam, what he said. You remember? Vritrasura's famous prayers, right? Na nagaprishtam, na japarameshtyam, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadhipatyam, na yoga siddhi, abhunarbhavamba, samanjasatva, virahaya kankshe. Vritrasura's famous 3-4 verses at the end is reflecting this situation, what Arjuna is facing here. Vritrasura is saying exactly the same thing what Arjuna is saying here. Na nagaprishtam, no heavenly plan, na parameshtam, I don't want anything. Na sarvabhaumam, na rasadhipatyam, na yoga siddhi, abhunarbhavamba, even repeated birth and death, I am not asking about that, he said. Yeah. So, all that means complete desires have to leave a person. Only then Sharanagati means something. Sharanagati and this desiring are connected to each other. If you have desires still, then Sharanagati is not possible. That means your Sharanagati is not proper. Sharanagati is not proper, right? So, why is it like that? There's also reason behind that, right? Krishna is here that if you have done Sharanagati, that means your total shelter is then Krishna, nothing else, right? All desires or obstacles for achieving Shanti inside. Shanti, that's what we want ultimately, is it not? Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. For Shanti and desires don't go together. Desires mean Shanti will be broken. Will be broken. Right. And similarly, agraham, or desires are there. Self-realization or getting our spiritual identity back cannot be done through desires. It is not something, self-realization or the able to realize our identity cannot be done by desiring. Desires are a problem for that. Yeah. So therefore, agraham, asha, and all circumstances, whether material or spiritual, one has to give up. Right. And in the even desire of self-realization is like this. When you have developed a desire for realizing Krishna, due to attraction for Krishna, if you develop your material desires, that is how you come out of the material desires first. First you develop your desire for Krishna and the material desires will leave you. Right? But when you have that desire that I want to see Krishna or I want to have that connection with Krishna, then it won't happen. Right? And at that stages, even when that desire also leaves us, because that desire will stay as an obstacle at that stage, when that desire also goes away, that is when you realize the truth, what Ishvara is, right? So, at the moment, we are thinking Ishvara is outside. There is something outside, and I have to find him out somewhere, in some place, and it is on that principle that we are engaged in spiritual life, thinking that Krishna is somewhere, I have to find him somewhere and get to know him. So this anubhuti, what he is saying here, that Ishvara anubhuti will not happen as long as we have these misconceptions inside. See, Arjuna, what you can see here, he gave up everything. And he said, when he did his Sharanagati, and he left his bow and arrow, and told Krishna, offered obeisances and told him that this shogam, what Arjuna has experienced here, the distress which he expressed in the whole first chapter, Arjuna's distress, right? And all that was weakening his senses, that vishadam, what he felt. That is what he is saying here in the second line. Yet shokam uchoshanam indriyanam, he says. What does that mean? My senses have become very weak. I can't do anything anymore. That is the indication of that. Yeah? Yet shokam uchoshanam indriyanam. In other words, the shokam, I'm feeling so much distress inside that my senses have become weak. Means eyes cannot see things properly, I can't hear anything properly, and all my body is practically becoming not able to function properly, in other words, he's saying there, right? So, with the shokam, with the distress, it can happen to the senses that way. You may be an emperor in the world, but still, he's saying here, avapim uma asabatnam ruddham rajyam suranam abhi chadipatyam. Even if you give the a planet where there is no enemies, and even if you give me the position of Indra, I don't want it. I just want this shokam, the distress, to leave me, right? And so, how to understand that? When we have a lot of things in this world, acquired a lot of things in this world, right? Shogam will still be there. Because even great, great personalities, emperors, they also had a shogam, right? For example, people who are very intelligent or who are very wealthy, Can you say that they are free from this shokam? Shokam comes to them as well, right? Even very wealthy people, they go through distress, right? And why is it like that? The problem is inside, yeah? Suppose you say that I don't want any comforts in the world outside. By saying that, the shokam won't go. Shokam won't go. If you find that difficult to understand, what they say is that you go and stay with a rich person and then see what happens in his life. You will see that distress is there in everyone. Nobody is free from distress. People think like this, oh, he has got so much money and he has any problem in life. He may have his own problems which you may not know. It is wrong to think that you are the only one suffering in this world. Everyone who has come to this world, you have signed a package when you took it that you will accept the distress here, right? So, so at this time, when Arjuna did this Sharanagati and he said like this, at that time, Sanjaya says, what Sanjaya says, evam uktva hrishikesham gudakesha parantapa nayolsamidi govinda muktva tushni babuvaha. Sanjaya says like that. He is talking about Arjuna's state of mind. Sanjaya is saying, Arjuna's state of mind, right? That he says, I cannot fight this war. I cannot do it, right? And Krishna is standing there without saying one word, who is perfect and complete himself. Nayolse idi govinda muktva tushni babuvaha. In other words, one who has total control on his senses, not affected by anything, not from ego, by his realization inside, fully independent and perfect, Krishna is standing there listening to this. So two persons in two different states. One fully realized state, unaffected by anything what goes on in this Maya. The other person completely controlled by Maya and totally subdued by Maya. So Bhagavad Gita is presenting in front of us these two personalities. One side totally under control of Maya, totally surrendered by that, surrendered to Krishna, taking his shelter, but not knowing what to do in this Maya. The other side, completely unaffected by Maya, not at all affected by anything, complete control of senses. He says here that Nayolsa Midi Govinda Muktva Tushnim Babuvaha. Muktva means complete in that liberated state, totally independent, totally unaffected, completely independent. He, Krishna, is standing there. So, we'll continue after the break.
Chedo darpanam arjanam baumaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam budivada purnamrda swadhanam sarvatna subanam banam vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kalam edadrushi tava kripa bhagavan mamavi Durdeva medashami hajani nanuragaham. Trinara vishuni jena, tarora visahishuna. Amani nama nadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Nathanam najanam nasundarim, kavidamba jagadishakamai. Mama janmani janmani shuri, bhavadal bhakti rahai dogitwai. Ainandadanuja kingaram, padidamam shame bhavambudo. Kravayada vapada pangajastida duli sadrasham vichindaya. Mayanam galada shudharaya, vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira, polagair nishidam gadavabo, tavannamagrahane bhavishyadi. Yugaidam nimeshena, chachusha pravishayidam, shunyayidam jagal sarvam, govinda virahe name. Ashlishyava padaradam pineshtumam, adarshanam armahadam karyotuva, yatha tathava vidhata tulambato, matprananatha sunayevana para. Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda.
Sanjaya says to Dhritarashtra, evam uktva hrishikesham budakesha parantapa nayolsemidi govinda muktva tushnim babhuvaha. So in front of Sanjaya is saying about one side Arjuna completely surrendered to Krishna, other side Krishna totally unaffected by everything and complete in himself, everything complete in himself. How do you understand a person who is complete like that? The way it is described in Yoga Vasishtam, there is description about that. One who is in that state, yeah? Samudra seva gambhiryam, sairyam mero rivastiti. Vasishtha is saying to Ramachandra about a person like that. Samudra seva gambhiryam, sairyam mero rivastiti, anda shitaladaha, mannaha, idine vijarinaha. In other words, what he is saying is that they are so deep inside, like an ocean, the person, right? Whatever happens, waves comes, it won't affect the ocean. No matter how powerful the wave is, ocean is not affected, right? Similarly, as strong like the Meru mountain, it's not that strength coming from the Ahangaram, like in us. Our strength comes from Ahangaram. But in their case, it's not coming from the Ahangaram, it's coming from the Antaryami himself. They are like that, right? Why? They know very well that they are not the body. Body, no identification at all. Brahman itself in that form, right? Due to that Brahmavastu, that body one is experiencing now is not like we dealing with our prarabdham. That body is, Krishna's body is not like dealing with the prarabdham like we deal with our prarabdham through the body. So, because of that, he says, how is there insight? Tushara karabimbartham. As crystal clear like on a Purnami day, how the moon is clear, in the same way. That kind of chittam inside. Tushara karabimbartham. The chittam, because there is no vasanas in him. Krishna has no, look at our body and his, Krishna's body. You can see the differences. We have prarabdham, there is no prarabdham in him. We have vasanas, he has no vasanas. We have ahangaram, he has no ahangaram. So form-wise, if you look at it similar, it looks like a form, two hands, two legs, everything. But the inside situation is totally different, right? Mano yasya nirakulam. We have all kinds of distress, happiness, distress, everything. Agulata. Mano yasya nirakulam. He does not have any akulata. And what else? We have some shandi when we are in a meditation room or in a salsangam or something like that. Some shandi you experience. Once you go out in the world, we are finished. We are taken away by the modes of nature, right? In their case, Maranam ulsavam ulsava yuddheshu. If a death happens, or a war happens, or a festival happens, they are same. No difference at all in them. Maranam, the Vasishtha is defining a perfect person in a realized state, how it will be. And referring to Krishna here now. Krishna's situation is like that. Krishna is not experiencing anything like the way Arjuna is going through. Krishna's situation is like that, right? Sashandam iti kathyade. So, whether a death happens, he's not affected. A festival is going on, everybody will be joyful. That also don't affect him. Or a war happens, it does not affect him, right? So, in the middle of all that, he is fully in the steady state. Unconnected, purnam, shandam. And that's Krishna. That's Krishna, right? So, in front of that Krishna, who is like this, like the way Vasishtha has spoken, in front of that Krishna, there is Arjuna standing there, completely shaken, all senses in trouble, as he mentioned in the യക്ഷോകം ഉച്ഛോഷണം ഇന്ദ്രിയാണം ഇൻ ദ എയ്ത്ത് വേഴ്സ് കംപ്ലീറ്റ്ലി ഷേക്കൺ നര സ്റ്റുഡ് ഇൻ ഫ്രണ്ട് ഓഫ് നാരായണ ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് സോ റിമെമ്പർ ദിസ് ബാക്ക് ദിസ് സീയിങ് വെരി മച്ച് ദാറ്റ് ഹൗ അർജുന ഈസ് ഇൻ ഫ്രണ്ട് ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹൗ ദേ ആർ വാട്ട് ദർ സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഓഫ് കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ദ സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ദ സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഈസ് റൈറ്റ് സോ ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ് സോ യു വിൽ സീ ദി ഗോവിന്ദ ഉക്ത്വാ തുഷ്ണീം ബഭൂവഹ ഹി ടോൾഡ് ഗോവിന്ദ വേദവ്യാസ മഹർഷി യൂസ് ദ വേർഡ് ഗോവിന്ദ ദേർ ഫോർ സെർട്ടൺ റീസൺസ് ഓൺലി റൈറ്റ് ഗോവിന്ദ മീൻസ് വാട്ട് ഇസ് ഗോവിന്ദ മീൻസ് വൺ മീനിങ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് വൺ ഹൂ ലുക്സ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ദ കൗസ് ദാറ്റ് മീനിങ് ഈസ് ഓൾസോ ദേർ അനദർ മീനിങ് ഈസ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ബി റിയലൈസ്ഡ് ത്രൂ ഉപനിഷത്സ് ദാറ്റ്സ് ഓൾസോ ഗോവിന്ദ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ്സ് എ വേർഡ് ആചാര്യസ്വാമിജി ഈസ് യൂസ്ഡ് എവരിവെയർ ഗോവിന്ദ ഭജഗോവിന്ദം ഭജഗോവിന്ദം ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ് ഗോവിന്ദ കംസ് ആസ് ദോ ദ സബ്സ്റ്റൻസ് ടു ബി റിയലൈസ്ഡ് ത്രൂ ഉപനിഷത്സ് നോളജ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഗോവിന്ദ ദാറ്റ്സ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് കോണ്ടെക്സ്റ്റ് റൈറ്റ് ഉപനിഷത് നൈക്വേഹി വിന്ദതെ ഇതി ഗോവിന്ദ ഉപനിഷത്സ് ടു ബി നോൺ മീൻസ് ദി മഹാവാക്യംസ് ഇൻ ദി ഉപനിഷത് ദി ട്രൂത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ബി റിയലൈസ്ഡ് ത്രൂ ദ ഫോർ മഹാവാക്യംസ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഗോവിന്ദ ആൻഡ് ഹീ സെഡ് ഐ വിൽ നോട്ട് ഫൈറ്റ് വിത്ത് ഗോവിന്ദ ആൻഡ് നയോ വിൽ സേ ഇതി ഗോവിന്ദ ഉക്ത്വാ തുഷ്ണീം ബഭൂവഹ ആൻഡ് വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ഹീ സാറ്റ് ഡൗൺ ദർ ഐ കുഡ് ഇൻ ഫൈറ്റ് റൈറ്റ് സോ ബഭൂവഹ ഹീ സേയിങ് ദർ ബഭൂവഹ ദിസ് ഈസ് വൺ സ്റ്റെപ്പ് ഇൻ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് യാ ജീവ വിൽ ഡു ദിസ് അറ്റ് ദി എൻഡ് എവറി ജീവ ഡസ് ദിസ് റൈറ്റ് ദ ഫീൽഡ് ഓഫ് ഹിസ് ആക്ടിവിറ്റി കർമ്മമണ്ഡലം ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഹി വർക്ക്ഡ് വെരി ഹാർഡ് ത്രൂ ഔട്ട് ലൈഫ് എ ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് വർക്ക് ഹി ഡിഡ് റൈറ്റ് ആൻഡ് അൾട്ടിമേറ്റ്ലി ഹി റിയലൈസസ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ഫീൽഡ് ഓഫ് കർമ്മം ഈസ് നോട്ട് വെരി പ്ലസന്റ് ദർ ഇസ് എ ലോട്ട് ഓഫ് രാഗദ്വേഷം ദർ ഇസ് നോട്ട് Everyone knows this. One who has worked in the offices, factories and all, you will know that ragadvesham comes there. Right? Ragadvesha kalusham, it says. Because to work in this world without ragadvesham is not possible. It's not possible. Right? And it is at that time a jiva realizes how limited he is. When you have to deal with different people, you can see this in politics very clearly, how they change their role all the time, what they say and what they do, nothing matches. I'm sure there must be some problems inside, but they tolerate all that to stay in their position, politicians particularly. So ragadvesham is like that. Ragadvesham comes in, and at some point in time, any one of them will eventually break. They cannot continue further, right? So they started realizing that they are limited. They cannot do everything. They cannot control the pragati. So basically, karmam teaches us one thing. What is that? I cannot change the pragati of this world. Different people's pragati is there. And that I cannot do anything. And because the pragati is different with the different people, it will create ragadvesham in me. And when ragadvesham gets very high in a person, eventually he gets, he wants to get out of it. He wants to come out of that, right? So that's the stage when he realizes his limitations, right? So whichever way you work in this world, ragadvesham will be there, right? So, because it is like that, rishis are saying to us, at least temporarily you withdraw from the world. Because it creates ragadvesham so much inside, at least temporarily you should withdraw from the world. And Paramahamsa also used to say this. He said, instead of all the time busy with the karma mandalam, field of karma, now and then you should try to come out of that field of karma. Right? If you should stay out of that. And then think about this tattvam, what he has spoken here. And now and then you should think about this tattvam, what Krishna is going to talk about, Atma tattvam, and he should start chewing that. That I am not the karta, I am not the bhokta. I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. He should remember this now and then, if he have to work in the karma mandalam, in the field of karma, right? And what else Krishna said? Actually you are nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam. That is your actual identity. You are eternal, you are pure, you are fully conscious, and you are always liberated. And if it is like that, why you are in this situation? Entangled in life with karmam and all this ragadvesham. That's not you actually. You have caught it from the karma mandalam. All these things, right? So, this withdrawal from the karma mandalam is essential. So that Krishna is, and remember what Krishna has spoken about us. Krishna is saying, in reality, we are nitya shuddha buddha mukta svabhava. Isn't it? We are eternal, we are pure, we are fully conscious, and we are actually liberated, we are. And kartrutvam bhoktrutvam is not in us. These four things, kartrutva bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham, that is what the world outside is. It puts these four things into us. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham. These four things gets in by doing karma. That's karmam does to us. It will be discussed later in the same chapter in detail. Krishna will say this, how that gets in. So, so this ragadvesham, Rishis are saying to us, in order that this ragadvesham don't go beyond a limit to get inside, now and then, particularly grihasthas, they say, that they should withdraw from the karma mandalam temporarily, and even though you may remain very alert in the grihastha ashramam, just like if you work in the kitchen, there will be, your clothes will get a little dirty. There is no doubt about that. Not in the modern kitchen, in the olden days you are talking about, where wood was used for cooking. Now it's everything is so, when you come out of the kitchen, you don't even know that. It's modern kitchens, isn't it? But we are referring to the kitchens of that times. So, they will say that no matter how careful you are, if you have worked in the kitchen for some time, there will be some dirt on your clothes or body, right? And therefore, Krishna is saying that now and then, you should withdraw from the world, right? And it is for that purpose, you should go alone, reflect on things, or you go for satsangam, and evaluate these things, what Krishna is going to say, right? That permanent thing here is only Chaitanyam, Brahmam, right? And this mundane life in this world, grihastha ashramam and all, is only a temporary game we have to play. Nothing more than that. Permanent thing is only Chaitanyam. Grihastha ashramam is only a temporary game you have to play here when you come in this body. Right? So, and in this lifestyle, it is difficult to get a permanent happiness or shanti. Therefore, because it is like that, one should not be too attached to that game. Because in this game called householder life, it is not possible to get shanti or perfect happiness. It's not possible. Therefore, right thing to do is that not to get attached in that situation, right? So, without sangam, right? Even if one got some knowledge of the self, even when you are a householder, even if you have some knowledge of the self, still you have to play the game of the householder. Like game you have to play. Why? Till the prarabdham is finished. That's a way to look at householder life. That's the advice here. Right? So, if you have that detachment inside, then the world may not give you so much trouble. So much trouble, right? And only thing is, you should not get trapped into that. Trapped in that situation, right? So, just like, you know, in the drama, you have to play a particular role. You have to play a particular role, right? But if you identify with the role, then you will be in trouble. Sometimes you have to play Duryodhana's role. Sometimes you have to play Dhritarashtra's role. or Krishna's role, Ramchandra's role, different roles the actors have to play, right? So what do? After the role they have played in the drama, they come back to the back room, dressing room, and then they remove their dress, everything, then they come back to their normal position, is it not? They are not that character anymore which they represented in the stage. So while they were on the stage, they have to play that role. But when you come out of the stage, you cannot think like that role what you played in the drama. You have to be on your own nature. In the same way, Krishna says that when you are in the role in the field of householder life, you have to play the role of the householder. But remember that it's only a temporary role. It's not a permanent role, right? So, but sometimes what happened is that some people, after they have acted in a drama for a long period of time, they will identify with that role. There was so many famous actors like that, who for years and years, they acted in the movie, in different roles, right? And they, which has become their identification, right? And when the identification comes, then you are in trouble. Then you are in trouble, right? That should not happen. So without getting that identification, if you remove that dress away, then there won't be any problem. But otherwise, it is for that purpose, Krishna is saying, that in householder life, now and then, it is important, a householder should withdraw himself and remain aloof for some time, or not to identify, or always conscious that it's only a temporary role he has to play in this world. A householder approach should be in that way, in his role to play, right? So, and that is what Arjuna has done here, right? In this particular situation now, if Arjuna has acted, it is going to cause problems, the way he is now, right? Because he is not in the right state of mind, right? Why is that? If he works now, in his present situation, he has got ragadvesham inside. Yeah? And the whole reaction to this now war will be based on ragadvesham. Based on ragadvesham, right? And therefore, he put the bow and arrow down there and he told Krishna that show me the way, I don't know how to act. That's what this stage now. Tam uvacha krishikesha prahasanniva bharata senayor ubhayor madhye vishidandam idam vacha. You see that verse very carefully if you read it. Tam uvacha krishikesha prahasanniva bharata senayor ubhayor madhye vishidandam idam vacha. Krishna is saying to him that the two armies are on both sides, either side standing there. In the middle of that, this great hero Arjuna is sitting there. And then he is crying, what to do, right? And when he is crying, Krishna is smiling. Prakasanniva Bharata. Krishikesha Prakasanniva Bharata, right? So, Krishna's smile, what does that represent, shows that to us, right? That smile is a symptom of knowledge, realization, in other words. Krishna's smile is representing that, the state of Krishna's consciousness, or you can say, I don't know how to put that, the way Krishna is, like that, yeah? On the other hand, that means that's a symptom of knowledge. The other side, if you look at Arjuna, symptom of avidya, ignorance in him, right? So, when the planet Rahu's period is not very good in astrology, when Rahu Dasha, when that comes, you are normally going to have some trouble, something or the other, right? So, Arjuna, Rahu means avidya. Basically, it's avidya. Arjuna's beautiful face, tears started coming from him. And even though Arjuna's tears were coming, Krishna is still sitting there smiling, unaffected by anything, right? And basically what it means is, that verse is saying, Krishna is seeing the fun of Arjuna's going through this situation, right? Prahasaniva. You know the word prahasan? Prahasan means, there is a word called prahasanam. Prahasanam means, what it means is, when you present some comedy, that's a prahasanam. Like a comedy show. Prahasanam. You, people act some funny things and you makes you laugh. Krishna felt it like that. Seeing Arjuna. It's a comedy show for Krishna. For Krishna it is a comedy show. But for Arjuna, he is going through the suffering. Right? So, so having said that, he is calling here and calling Dhritarashtra as Bharata. We call Dhritarashtra as Bharata, right? Bharata means, why did he call that name? Because one who has appeared in Bharatavarsham, or one who has appeared in Bharatavarsham, or one who come in the Bharata's dynasty. Remember the king Bharata, Rishabhadev's eldest son, by whose name Bharata Bhumi is known. So, one who has come in that dynasty, you can, in either way you can take it like that. Apart from that, there is still a different meaning more than that. Bha means enlightenment. Radhi means one who is fully enlightened. Bha means enlightenment. Radhi means one who is fully enlightened. So therefore this word Bharata is a very significant word in the Bhagavad Gita. Because it is referred to a person who is in the enlightened state. Bha means knowledge. Rati means one who is enlightened with the knowledge. Bharata. Bha, Rati. That is, when you combine together, that becomes, makes the word Bharata. Right? So, the knowledge side, that what is Krishna is going to start now, talking about the knowledge part of it, you get ready for that, Dhritarashtra. Sanjaya is indicating to him in this way. Get ready for what you are going to hear from the, that knowledge part, what you are going to hear from him. And it is from here Bhagavad Gita actually begins. Up to this point, this is the first chapter, and the first 10 verses of the second chapter, the science of Bhagavad Gita has not started. Real Bhagavad Gita is going to begin from here onwards, right? And as I mentioned before, Bhashyam commentary also begins from the next verse, right? So, look at the next verse. Bhashyam means Sutrartho Varnade Yatra Padam Sutranisaripi So Padanija Varnyande Bhashyam Bhashya Vido. Able to, once when you read Shastram, when you are not able to understand it, you can see different verses. When you read, even if you know Sanskrit, still you may not fully capture the message from the verse. What is implied in that? Yeah, and that is difficult for ordinary people even. You may know Sanskrit. You may get the direct meaning of the verse when you read the verse. You may be able to read the translation. That is why for all verses you require purport or bhashyam. Purport is bhashyam. Bhashyam is a purport, right? So, using those words in the verses in order to give clarity for the verse, to get a clarity of the verse, and in order to establish their conclusions on that, whatever you write on that is called Bhashyam. Bhashyam, the word Bhashyam, you know, all when they say, the among the learned circles, they will say like the Shankara Bhashyam, Ramanuja Bhashyam, Madhva Bhashyam, they will say like that. Means that Acharyas, what they have written, is in order to, what do they call it, elucidate, isn't it? That in order to get that clarity in what is spoken in the words, because Vedavyasa Maharshi's language is different. He can speak like this and he expects us to understand. Kali Yuga people, he's supposed to understand all this, what he has written. We are people who require explanation for everything. So Bhashyam is necessary. Without Bhashyam, it is difficult. So Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Bhagavad Gita verses, 700 verses, he packed the whole Upanishads. And it is difficult for ordinary person to tap into that, and therefore Bhashyam, right? So here Bhashyam begins in that way. So the two armies are standing side by side, and in the middle of that, Arjuna is sitting there and crying. Arjuna is a very heroic person, and but seeing these armies and the people whom he has to fight, he is crying at that moment, right? And Krishna is smiling, and that smile is a symptom of that spiritual position of Krishna. Krishna's spirituality, that realized state of Krishna, that's what is shown through that smile. Krishna's smile is showing us power of knowledge in that person, right? Sign of knowledge. The other side, who? Arjuna, is a sign of ignorance also. Exactly opposite, two opposite things, right? And so, after doing that, this next verse, what he's saying here, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Ashochyan Anyashochastvam Prajnavadamsha Bhashase Gadasuna Gadamsumscha Nani Shochandi Panditaha. The first verse Krishna has spoken to in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. That Ashochyan Anyashochastvam Prajnavadamsha Bhashase Gadasuna Gadasumscha Nani Shochandi Panditaha. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, first of all, who is a Pandita? You know, so many words in the Shastram, when it comes to mundane people, they misinterpret everything. They call Nehru as Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru. Things like that. It's a problem, because word Pandita means so many different things. And you're calling all these politicians as Pandit and that Pandit, this Pandit, all sorts of things, right? So, first word is that, Ashochya and Anyashochastvam, you have been crying so long, and such a long time you have been in distress also. Obviously, Krishna felt some compassion for him, to Arjuna. And because Arjuna thought, when I am in such a depressed state, Krishna will show some compassion to me, right? But he thought like that. Who? Arjuna thought like that, right? But here, there is no sign of any compassion, instead of a sign of ridicule. That's what Arjuna saw there. Krishna smiled. When somebody comes to you, telling you all his problems in life, suppose you make a joke out of it, how will he feel? He is expecting from you some compassion. Instead of you showing some compassion, you are just smiling as though you are nothing, all these problems are not a problem. In a way, you are ridiculing him, making him feel very bad about it. So that's what has happened here, right? So that is why that word, prahasaniva bharata, that it has become a prahasanam for Krishna to see this, right? So, he's saying here, by killing whom one should not get disturbed, and about whom you should not be concerned about, you are still crying. Ashochyan Anyashochastvam, he says, Ashochyan Anyashochastvam, by killing whom you should not be concerned, worried about, and killing whom by that action, you should not be affected by that, right? Prajna vadamsha bhashase, he says. That prajnavan means shandi, and sthita prajna means one who has steady knowledge, proper knowledge, right? So up to this time, Arjuna spoke about dharmam in detail, did he not? In the first chapter, Arjuna was giving lessons to Krishna about dharma. You see the situation. And Arjuna is saying that this is my dharmam. And he taught Krishna what dharma means. And hearing all that, Krishna had to laugh. Krishna had to laugh, yeah? So, and therefore he says, you are speaking like a pandit, panditaha, right? And not only that, after that you cried also. First you spoke like a pandita, then you started crying. And then you spoke like a learned person, vidwan. You spoke like a vidwan, as though you know everything, right? And here, the definition of pandita comes. Who pandita is, right? Pandita alpa vishayaha. Alpa vishayam, one who knows the soul, science of the soul, right? And which means knowledge of the self. In other words, whose shraddha is in the atma. One who is able to keep the body, the mind, the intelligence, everything separate away from him, and his shraddha is in the andaryami, spurti, he is the one who is pandita. In other words, one who knows who he is, who has self-realization, and one who does not forget this, he is a pandita. That one who is able to keep body, mind, intelligence, everything separately, and able to realize that he is that spurti inside, spiritual spark inside, he is pandita. Right? In other words, that awareness, bodham inside, where his shraddha is always there, and remaining as a witness to everything what the body, mind and intelligence is doing. One who is able to remain in that state, he is pandita. Right? So no matter whatever trouble happens for the body and whatever way the mind moves around one way or the other, mind gets turbulent very much. No matter what happens to the body, no matter what happens to the mind, he won't be affected. That state, his shraddha is always in that Andaryami who is present inside, Sarvashaktam, and he is fully grounded there. He is fully grounded there. And just like if you tie the rope to a very firmly fixed place, a post, then that rope, you will not be able to run away from there. If you tie a cow with a post, if the post is very firm and steady, so he will not move, cow won't be able to move away from there. Similarly, who is pandita? Pandita means that one who has managed to contact or make connection with Andaryami. And therefore that definition, panda alpa vishayam, alpa nishta means established in that situation, he is pandita, right? So, what basically it means is, simply if you have studied books, you won't become a pandita. You don't become a pandita just because you have studied books, right? Yajnavalkya Maharshi says this, that he will realize this, that the Andaryami inside is him, and afterwards, he will play like a child in this world, after realizing it, right? So, like children will think very independently, don't they? They are, because there is no ragadvesham inside. They'll think independently, right? So Krishna is saying here, you are talking like a pandita, and therefore he says here, gadasu na gadasumsha nani shochandi panditaha. Now here, asu means pranin, the life air inside us. One who has lost the pranan, life air has gone away, agadasumscha, gadasun agadasumscha, gadasun agadasumscha, asu means pranan. So pranan has left the body, and Krishna is saying that while living in this world, not lamenting about those who are living in this world or those who have left the body, neither of them, either who have left this world or those who are living in this world, panditas don't feel distressed about it. Gadasun agadasumsha. Gadasuna means that those who are living here now and those who are left both, he won't be affected by that. That is a symptom of a pandita. In other words, if a death of some person is affecting you, he is not a pandita. Distress should not come. That's what Krishna is saying there. Gadasuna agadasumsha. Nani shochandi pandita. If you are lamenting about someone's death, that shows what? What does that show? It shows that you are not that pandita. Pandita's definition Krishna has said before. Atmavishayam jnanam. He knows that able to remove body, mind, intelligence, everything and fully identify with the Antaryami inside, he is pandita. Now, a pandita does not lament about people who have come and who have gone. Neither of them. Gadasu na gadasumscha. Nani shochandi pandita. So, why is it like that? Their shraddha is not in the prakriti. These namam rupam is all in the prakriti, isn't it? Namarupam will come, namarupam will go from here. So, if your shraddha is in the namarupam, then it is not pandita. It's not pandita. So, whereas if your Shraddha is in the Antaryami inside, permanent thing is only Antaryami, not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, none of them are permanent, right? So, if you are lamenting about body and the world, that means you are not a Pandita. That's the first thing. So, they are what they call as Ajnani. Pandita's opposite thing is Ajnani, right? Because reason is, logam or the world is what you are perceiving through senses. Nothing more than that. Alokyade iti lokaha. Who says this? Vedavyasa Maharshi says this. In his commentary on Brahma Sutram, he says this very clearly. See, this world, what we are talking about, people ask, when was this world created? No, rishis don't see the world like the way we are seeing the world. Rishis are seeing the world in a totally different way. What they are saying is that because you have got senses, you are perceiving something and that's your world. That's all it is. Suppose you have no senses. Instead of five senses, you have got one sense. Say for example, you have no eyes and you have no ear. You have got the nose, you are smelling something. The world you are perceiving through one sense will be different than the world you are perceiving through five senses. Is it not? So basically the world, what you are experiencing is through senses only. So senses, what is giving you the impression about the world, that's your world. And that can vary from one person to another. So, anyway. So, the world depends on in your vision. In your eyes, what you see, that's the world, right? So, sometimes people want to change the world, don't they? They want to improve the conditions of the world, save the world, they say. And they've tried all that. Has anything changed? Look at the world today. Year by year, day after day, the anxiety is building up about life in this world, right? So, even today people are running around all over the world to change the world. They think Krishna has sent them here to change the world. That's because they have not understood this principle, right? So, increasing, you can see even incarnations have come and tried to change the world. Krishna is making his understand. Prakriti, don't try to fiddle with it. It's not going to work. Prakriti is very strong. Maya or Prakriti is a very strong thing. You can come and go, but you don't try to repair her. She won't allow you to do that. She knows what she is doing. And even Krishna said that, when I am leaving, she will do what is to be done here. Uddhava, don't worry about it. Try to escape from here. That was the message Krishna said to Uddhava at the final minute. When Krishna said, I have been holding it back for some time, but once I go, it will go back to its own nature, right? So, even though so many incarnations had come to this world, Look at the situation, what it is now, right? So, improving worldly conditions, that is not in the Vedic philosophy at all. Never. They never encourage that. That you come here and you have to change this world. That is considered to be avidya, basically. Basically, it's avidya, right? So, when you, this world, trying to change the world, is like this. When you are shaving in front of the mirror, right? You are shaving on yourself, right? Not in the mirror. Similarly, world is a mirror for us, right? And as much you repair inside, accordingly, you will see the change in the world. That is the way to happen. If you repair yourself inside, then you will see a different world. But if you try to change the world outside, you will fail. So many people tried, it didn't work, right? So, in other words, if you realize Antaryami, Brahmatattvam inside, Upanishad says, Drishtet jnanamayam kartkritva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. If your drishti has changed, if there is knowledge in your drishti, in your vision, pashyet brahmamayam jagat, you will see this whole creation is nothing but Brahma. That realization will come. What Krishna is talking about in the Agadisham. Yeah? So, drishtet jnanamayam kritva pashyet brahmamayam jagat. The whole creation itself is Brahman, and there is nothing to be repaired here, and those who are thinking that they have to fix the world, right, they are only wasting their time. This is first understanding, right? And lot of us people, we waste our energy in doing that, and what happens is we will identify with something either in the form of national identity, I belong to this nation, or you identify with a particular religion, or particular society or community. In this way, first you will identify with that, and then you will start thinking of improving of that particular identity. If you identify with the country, you start thinking that I have to improve the conditions of this country, or a society, or a community, whatever you are identifying with, right? And one thing we should know at this point, that if it gets better, let it get better. That is not in your hands. That's not in your hands, right? So, if you do your karma without much expectation of results from that nishkama, if you do some seva there, jiva will get purified. That's the only benefit in that. But if you start insisting that by my seva the world should get changed, then you will end up in distress. So jiva has got an opportunity only for that. Without attachment, if he does some seva in this world, jiva will get purified. That's a benefit. World may or may not get changed. That's not going to happen, right? So, and if you start insisting that the world has to change, and if you start on that basis, a lot of distress will come from that. Yeah, and ultimately, you will feel depressed. Oh, I have done all these things in the world. The world hasn't changed. It is still having all these problems. This happens to many, many, many Mahatmas. They also said the same thing. Vivekananda, after starting Ramakrishna Mission, and initiated sannyasi, sent them to preach everything. Before he left his body, he said, it was all a waste of time, he said. It is his own words, you can read that. It was all a waste of time, because he said, it is his best example, like the dog's tail. He said, this world you are trying to change, that's not in our control. Even I made this mistake, he said, of doing this, trying to change the world, right? So, one person, he had leprosy. So he decided, after he got cured somehow, he thought, I have to help all other people who have got leprosy. And he took it as his mission for life. A lot of people you see like that in life, is it not? Got some mission. Everybody has a mission in life too. to save the world, right? So, and he did that whole lifetime. He opened up care homes for them to look after the leprosy patients, right? And at the time of death, he was still not happy. So they asked him, why are you unhappy? You have done so much. He said, there is so many other leprosy patients still. I couldn't do anything for them. He is lamenting about that. Yeah. So thinking about them, he died. Of those leprosy patients whom he could not do anything for them, thinking about them, he died, right? Now imagine what will be his next life, right? So that is, the fault is not the service what he has done. And similarly, people do all kinds of things in this world, or serving Krishna also, but it is not done with the intention of changing anything, right? If it is done simply for Krishna's pleasure, to please Krishna, it is fine, right? But if you think that by doing all these things, the world will change and you will save this world, if you think like that, it is a problem. It is a problem, right? And ultimately, you will feel depressed about it, like Vivekananda felt, right? So Arjuna also is thinking about them and feeling distressed, right? And that is what Bhagavan Krishna is saying here, that first of all, Krishna says to Arjuna, is their life in your hands, first of all? Is their life, is that in your hands, right? And can you give life back to someone who is dead? And those who are living in this world, can you stop them from dying? Krishna's question to Arjuna, making Arjuna understand that he is not responsible for anything, what's happening in this world. We all take all responsibility on our shoulders and start thinking that we are responsible for everything. Krishna is saying to us, you are not responsible. It is happening by the flow of karma, of prakriti, right? So, first thing he said to him, that jadasu nagadasumsha nani shochandi panditaha. Panditas won't feel depressed about it. Pandita, that is a symptom of a pandita. So in this first verse, Krishna is making Arjuna understand that those individuals with whom you are worrying about, that you are supposed to be looking after them, or you are supposed to be maintaining them, whether you can kill them or you can save them, all these foolish ideas you have to give up first, right? First thing to know from this is, wherever there is distress in life, you can take it that there is no knowledge there. Wherever there is distress in life, there is no knowledge there, right? So, why the fact that distress has come in life for anyone in this world is an indication that there is a problem with that person. What? He has gone and taken, attached to something what is temporary in this world. And that is where all distress comes in this world, whatever it may be, right? A temporary thing, if you get attached to, and if you hold on to that, when you lose that thing, what you have got attached to, that's when distress comes. Yeah? So, and if that distress is there, or shokam, what he's calling here, that what that means is, proper knowledge has not come to him yet. Yet. Right? So, that's what he's saying here, that you are worrying about Drona, Bhishma and all that, right? They are all jnanis. And why do you cry thinking about them? Yeah? Why are you depressed by thinking about Drona and Bhishma? We have seen that before. Why Drona and Bhishma are different than the other people. Isn't it? Bhishma is a jnani, he is. And Drona also, you've seen how he taught Drushtadyumna all the knowing very well that he is going to kill him. Bhishma knew that Shikhandi is going to kill him. In spite of that, they taught them they did their work. They trained, Drishtadyumna was taught by Dronacharya. And Shikhandi, he knew that Shikhandi is going to kill him. He still fought the war with him. So what I'm saying is that knowing that, that shows the knowledge in them. That they know that these things will happen. It is bound to happen that way. So that shows that they're jnanis. And Krishna is asking here, you are lamenting about them. You are lamenting about them. Now, leave behind Bhishma and Drona, Duryodhana and others, why are you lamenting about them? Right? No matter, even if you are depressed, distressed about them, they will be what they are. They are not going to change. Sometimes you can see people will worry about their children, isn't it? Or grandchildren, like that. They'll be worrying about them. What is to be done, right? And that distress will go on like this. Sometimes in family life it is normal. Husband will worry about the wife, wife will worry about the husband. Whole life will be worrying each other about that. But because they're worried about it, nothing is going to change. It will happen what has to happen. And that is the law of the Prakriti. Prakriti's law, laws of nature, right? That means, with a little bit of common sense, you can understand that, this law of the nature, right? We cannot change ourselves, right? And thinking that I can change somebody else according to my desire. Probably wife thinks I can change my husband, or husband thinks I can change my wife, which is a constant problem in the family life, right? So, that is not possible. That's not possible, right? Just look at our own body. Look at our own body, right? And with our own body, we haven't got full control over that. Sometimes we have to listen to the body, what body says. That is how dependent we are. That much independence we have, right? In my mind I think something, but body is not allowing. So what control have I got on my body? Body will dictate to me and I have to act on that basis. In the same way, right? So when it is like that, for me to think that somebody else should behave in a way, the way I like it, if I start thinking like that, how can that happen? It won't happen. Never. It is not possible. That is the svabhavam of prakriti. Prakriti svabhavam it is, right? Within ourselves, if I have this vasana in me, that I have to change somebody, you know what will happen? Exactly opposite to my vasana, somebody will come and take birth in your family. That's what will happen. If I start thinking that I have to change everything in the family and make everyone to do what I want them to do, and I have to change them. If I take this approach, by Krishna's arrangement, somebody will come and take birth in the family totally against your plans, right? So, in order to get rid of that vasana from you, in order to get rid of that vasana, Prabhupada said this. In his own personal life, he said, this happened. He said, I have been trying whole life to change my wife to come along with me in my own way. And it didn't happen. And ultimately, I had to leave, he said. Before he took sannyas, he said that. So, what he's saying is that this is not only Prabhupada's case. Many, many great personalities have admitted that this can happen. So, Prakriti does this to anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. Prakriti, if you have this strong vasana inside to change others, Prakriti will put somebody close to you who will work totally against your vasana. It will come in that way. So this you can see, great, great personalities, they will have children or grandchildren or relatives who will appear in their family environment and who will be totally opposing you. Because in their inside, they have this vasana very strongly to change others, right? And in order to remove that vasana, Krishna will do that. Prakriti will do that, right? And there's an interesting story behind this, right? In Ramayana, Bharata comes to Ramachandra and cries in front of him, right? Ayodhya Kandam, if you read, you will find there, right? Bharata is telling to Ramachandra, come back to Ayodhya, right? And thinking about you, I am feeling distressed. Who? Bharata is feeling distressed, right? You have got the throne there, whole kingdom there. You have given up all that, and you are come and living like this in the forest. No facilities. There is a lifestyle was different. Palace, all the facilities, servants and all that. And in the forest, suffering. There is no proper place to sleep, no proper food to eat. Why this? Bharata is asking this to Ramachandra. Right? When Bharata said this to him, Ramachandra says to Bharata, that think about yourself first, he said. Right? Why are you crying about others? This was Ramachandra's reply to Bharata. Why are you crying about others? You think about yourself, right? This cycle of birth and death is going on, and see that what is happening. Think about yourself and cry about yourself first. Learn that first. Ramachandra's advice to Bharata. This is Ramachandra saying to his brother. Think about yourself, what situation you are in this cycle of birth and death. You are not able to escape from that, and you are worrying about me, he said. You yourself are stuck in this situation, right? So, why you waste your whole life thinking about me like this, right? You have not come here to cry. You had enough cry, and you should cry for yourself, Ramachandra says to Bharata, right? Why you waste your time crying for others? So, this instruction, what Ramachandra spoke to Bharata, is exactly what Krishna is saying to Arjuna also. Ma shucha. Remember? Ma meka sharanam. Aham tvam sarvabhavebhyo mokshayishyami. Ma shucha. You shouldn't cry. Cry for others. You should cry for yourself. Look after yourself, as we say. And that is what Krishna is saying to us. You look after yourself first. Don't worry about the rest of the world. That's not your headache. Don't take all this headache on your head and start worrying about it. Look after yourself, Krishna says. Krishna is not saying look after yourself like the way we say look after yourself. Krishna is saying look after yourself means spiritually you take the benefit of human life, right? So, so thinking about all these people and feeling distress about it, about Bhishma, about Drona, this is not knowledge. And that is why the next verse comes in the background of that. After saying that, Krishna is justifying his statement in the next verse. Natve vaham jatu nasam, natvam neme janadipa, na chaiva na bhavishyami, sarve vayamada param. So, in the last verse, Krishna said what Pandita means. Panda alpa vishaya buddhi yesham tehi panditaha panditya nirvidya iti shrutehe. Ajari Swamiji defines Pandita there, right? Panda means one who knows Atma, who knows the soul, right? And this is in the Shruti. And then Krishna said this verse to Arjuna. From now on, all amazing verses in the Bhagavad Gita, from now on, all the verses are really amazing verses, right? And so we will have to start discussing that in the next class. Yeah. Wednesday, only those 2 weeks, last week of July and first week of August, those two Wednesdays, right? This week as normal. Okay? Yeah.